Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health and Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest is Mr. Paul Redding from the Compliancy Group, and they work with people nationwide with cybersecurity and HIPAA compliance and insurance. Mr. Paul Redding is the Vice President Partner for Engagement in Cybersecurity at Compliancy Group, and he helps healthcare professionals and organizations stay safe and secure. In this episode of the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, Paul Redding shares tips, tools, and programs that his company uses to protect doctors, nurses, and staff against cybersecurity and HIPAA breaches and legal compliance problems. Let's welcome our guest and say hello to Paul Redding.
Hey, Nick. Thanks so much for having me today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for coming on here to talk to us about all the things that we need to watch out for and what we can do to ensure ourselves against issues that come up. So as we're talking today, for the folks listening, here are some of the things we're going to discuss. Healthcare clients and the cybersecurity and HIPAA laws they're up against, educating on compliance, audits, process, and procedure, of course, time required for compliance, meeting, and education, and insuring against audit or information breaches and notifications and what we do with all that. So, Paul, tell us a little bit about the Compliancy Group and what you all do.
Well, Nick, Compliancy Group is a 17-year-old plus company now. We were founded back in 2005, and we were originally founded by HIPAA auditors, so you can say we were born in the compliance space. If you go back, you know, back then, what we were doing is we would go out to these very large organizations, think like LA County, Tennessee Department of Health, Kaiser. You know, we would go in and we would get paid six or seven figures to tell these huge, sophisticated organizations what they were missing in terms of HIPAA compliance. But what turned out to be kind of the catch and the problem that we discovered was we would come back a year later, get paid to do it again, and everything was still wrong. We discovered that no matter how sophisticated or sharp the organization appeared, this 700-page law that was written by lawyers to be audited and interpreted by other lawyers was just not being implemented well inside their businesses. So we built out a tool, what we do today, which is called the GUARD, think like QuickBooks but for compliance, and a proven methodology to help businesses of all sizes, from, you know, a single-person chiropractor up to Kaiser, achieve, illustrate, and maintain their HIPAA compliance.
HIPAA compliance is a big deal. If you're getting problems left and right, let's talk about some of the horror stories about breaches and what can happen if we have problems.
Well, I'll tell you a resource that everybody out there listening right now can go look at, because, you know, I'm always one of those don't take my word for it people. Google
yep.
What is called the HIPAA Wall of Shame. If you Google this, you'll pull up a who's who database of good people that bad things happen to. You see, the federal government maintains a website that's a list of absolutely every organization out there that's ever had a breach, been fined, been penalized, or had an issue with the HIPAA law. The average fine, if you take your time and you peruse it, you'll find somebody that you can search by, for example, you can search by specialty, you can search by location, you can search by all these different fields, and what you'll find is the average fine over the history of the law is $1.5 million per incident. And somebody that looks, if you're in medical, probably just like you has had this happen. And, you know, I've had people recently ask, you know, well, during the pandemic, haven't they made this easier? Haven't they, you know, tried to give us a break? I mean, the medical industry is under siege, right? Not at all. Believe it or not, during the pandemic, we've seen record fines. So you'll notice, I mean, the other day, they literally gave five HIPAA fines in one day.
Wow. They're out there.
It's very serious.
And so sometimes people say, well, I'm just a small office with five people. They're not going to come after me.
Well, you know, Nick, if you said that 6 years ago, 7 years ago, maybe even five, I think there was a degree of truth in it. You know, there's always been the potential for a random audit, but they're not very common. And if you went back, like you said, 6 or 7 years, then the target for enforcement then was really where the problems lived, which was in the enterprise and large business space. But that part of the industry, by and large, while they're still under attack, has gotten their stuff together a lot better than the SMB. And now the focus from Health and Human Services, Office of Civil Rights, and even we're seeing states' attorneys generals get into this. The focus now is actually on the SMB. Those five fines I said that all happened in the same day the other day, they were for what's called patient right to access. They weren't even the result of actual audits. This is a case where a patient in almost every case went to a small practitioner, asked for their medical records, and it took too long to get it to them. So you see fines that range from something tiny, like, I don't know, $15,000 to $30,000, all the way up to $100,000 or $150,000, simply because small businesses didn't have their stuff together and can't get me my medical records within the window required. The enforcement has turned its focus from what was exclusively enterprise to what is now basically the whole sector.
Right. You know, and some people will say that is, in the back end, an effort to scare or discourage people from going on their own. And I've heard that not only in health and medical, but other industries where they say it's big corp and big company and big pharma and big everything is trying to wipe the rest of us out of the marketplace. And how can they do that with tools like this and tactics, you know, as such to nail people on violations and things? So where it used to be that people, again, we thought on the enterprise level had to be concerned, but our smaller local shops were less under the radar. I mean, that's a thing that we're going to all see changing, you know. So and going through there, a lot of this is education on the auditing process, the procedures. You know, some people might have done a lot internally with studying this. There's different ways people approach it. So when you talk to folks who have done this on their own, what do you talk about in terms of how Compliancy Group can help them where they were otherwise just doing it really on their own and sort of by the seat of their pants, learning and hoping that all their T's are crossed, so on and so forth?
That's a great question, Nick. I'll give kind of a somber answer here. So back to that HIPAA wall of shame, the failure rate under audit for businesses that find themselves under that HIPAA microscope, meaning if you get audited under HIPAA, the failure rate is 94% since the inception of this law. Over 9 out of 10 businesses, when audited by Office of Civil Rights, are going to be found negligent or failing within their duties and are going to be fined, and then after fines, given extremely difficult to manage corrective action. So what I'll tell you for the people that are doing it on their own is the problem out there is not that 9 out of 10 businesses are willingly negligent. Certainly some of them are. I've run into medical professionals that laugh and say, I don't do that HIPAA thing. Look, if that's you, then you're creating your own risk, right? But for everyone else, the reason that they're failing these audits is because they don't understand what it takes. When I say compliance or you say compliance, 80% of people out there think we're talking about a cybersecurity standard. So their head goes to like firewalls and antivirus and encryption and email protection, which is very important and makes up an aspect of the law. But what they don't understand is that the HIPAA law is like 30% cybersecurity and 70% administrative and business functions that you as an organization have to implement and document through policy and procedure. So when I say, did you do your risk assessment, and all the doctors listening out there go, yep, I paid my IT guy that came in and asked a bunch of nerd questions, awesome. That is one of 6 audits that you had to do this year in order to be compliant. So if you did okay on your IT risk assessment, Nick, how did you do on your high-tech Subtitle B privacy audit? When you say that, you will see the color drain out of even compliance officers in some really powerful organizations will go, wait a second, my who? Right, because it's a 700-page law that you didn't realize. You've got to audit against the subset of high-tech Subtitle D. That's why everybody fails. So if you're doing it on your own, can it be done? Sure. The question becomes, are you certain you are completing everything? Are you leaving stuff, you know, just completely unaddressed? That's why most people fail.
Wow. I know someone who was talking about website development for purposes of the ADA and websites having things, functionality for those who can't see or, you know, there's all sorts of things out there. I mean, there's people out there who will, you know, any business that doesn't have a wheelchair ramp is violative of a certain thing. There's so many areas out there. We could go on forever, and people, again, glazed over. So someone definitely knows that they can have all sorts of problems. They're looking for a way to, what you know, what do we do? How much does this cost? So how do we return color to their face while you're talking to them so they don't pass out?
Well, here's the great news, Nick, is as I told you, you know, we founded it in a way to help the industry get compliant. And while we started all those years ago in the enterprise sector, our primary deliverable now is aimed right there at the small business, at the guy that just said, Paul, what you said is great, but I don't have $10,000 to do this. I don't have the ability to hire somebody and bring them in here and make them, you know, put me through these ropes and processes for what these consultants cost. What Compliancy Group does is we've built out a solution that you'll find endorsed by the American Dental Association, the American Optometric Association, the American Association of Chiropractic, right? All those organizations endorse our solution because their members can, A, afford it, and I think that's important. It's a very low cost and easy way to get in there and get this done. But two, they actually complete our process. See, there's a lot of tools out there that I could say, hey, Nick, look, go here, download this thing. It's going to provide you a ton of questions. You're going to go get these templates and policies. Here's a roadmap, you do it. When you understand the volume of work that it would take to put it together from scratch, it's daunting and nothing ever gets accomplished. Using our methodology in what is really a series of just a few short hours once the very first year, and then a couple of hours on, call it, rinse, wash, repeat in the years to come, we can get you completely HIPAA compliant, and we will issue what we call our HIPAA compliance seal. That's what you're going to find if you go look up, you know, compliant HIPAA compliance on the American Dental. They're going to tell you to go look for our seal of compliance, because what it says is we'll put you through the paces, we'll grade your work, and we'll validate you and say we can prove that what you've done is in good faith to achieve HIPAA compliance.
What are the next steps? So that sounds like a plan, and if it's cost effective and there's an insurance element to it, that protects me. So what type of effort is it going to take me and my organization to comply? Because it sounds like with the educating and the process and going through a lot of our systems, it seemed like that might not only take time but manpower.
It's a great question again, Nick. You're hitting all the right points here. One of the challenges is that resource allocation for most companies. Great news there is the process that we put you through can really be done by virtually any employee you've got. Johnny or Sally at the front desk can go through this process, because what we're going to do is we're going to break it down simply. The questions are around the organization, and we assign you what's called a HIPAA coach. That's a member of my team that's a highly trained individual who's going to take you through the process and make sure you don't fall down or get confused. That person, whoever the one person is in your organization that you assigned to this, the first year is going to meet with us about three times for an hour each and have about an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of homework. So we say all told, the first year, you're going to spend less than 8 hours on this thing, going from zero all the way through all your audits, policies, procedures, absolutely everything. After that, we're going to contact you every year. We're going to remind you that it's time to do your assessments and your audits again. We're going to put you through it, but you'll never spend 8 hours again. The average time commitment in the years to follow are just a couple hours per year because it's really rinse, wash, repeat. And then my coach is going to be responsible for anything that would need to update policies. You know, when the law changes, for example, we change things that are going to happen around that patient right to access. Our policies will be updated for you. You won't have to touch that stuff at all.
Good to know. I always think about the your chain is as strong as its weakest link. And I can remember when I worked somewhere where we're on under HIPAA rules, and it was a flexible spending benefits department, and we processed the payments for dependent care and other things. So we were very much under HIPAA, and we had to go through some real basic things like not writing password on the post-it note and putting that on the computer screen. And that's the biggest joke from, you know, office land of, you know, have your secure passwords and then they're sitting there on a desk, you know, or they're, you know, again, posted right on the computer or monitor. And I always think about the cleaning staff who comes in. I've worked at enough law firms, especially in family law firms, where we have all their financials and people with, you know, significant net worth and passwords and all this other stuff. I mean, all you need to do is steal one of these people's boxes of information and, you know, go to town. And you know, so do you trust your cleaning people? There are, I mean, I could probably identify 100 different points of penetrability in any of these systems and stuff. So there, even though you may be as best educated as possible and done everything, there still things can fall through the cracks. So talk to us about the insurance component of what Compliancy offers. So in that case, that the education and all, despite all the best efforts, that there's still a breach.
That's a great question. Well, I'll tell you something. I keep saying that. You just hit it all, man. The thing about insurance is that, let's be very real, Nick. What is insurance's job when you file a complaint, right, or when you file a claim? Figure out if they actually have to pay you. One of the things that you're going to find out really quickly is nobody can indemnify you for breaking the law. So if you have a HIPAA violation and you are found to be in violation of that law, let's say you get hit for negligence or you know, you get hit for negligence because you didn't enact all these things in your environment. Insurance can't pay for that. You're all on your own, and worse, insurance can often drop the entire claim around everything that happened with the breach because you were in violation of a law which voids your policy. So first and foremost, if you are under the HIPAA law, your own compliance really determines whether that piece of paper that insurance has given you is worth the paper it's printed on. That's the first thing to really understand. If you're out of compliance, it gives them an out. Now, on the back end of that, if you are the typical small medical group out there, let's say, you know, under 35 users, my solution actually comes with considering a bump on top of your normal cyber liability insurance policy. We give you $100,000 included with our solution. The reason we give you that is if you go through our process and you get our seal of compliance, I'll tell you the truth, in the 17 years we've done it, no client carrying that seal has ever failed one of their audits. That's because we defend under audit, we build the process for you, and we can prove that we don't give you that seal unless you've done everything you should. But let's say you have a breach. I can keep you from getting the fines because you did the right thing according to the law. I can't stop you from having to do stuff like forensics on your computers, hire an IT expert to come in here and tell you what happened, restore your data, which can be extremely expensive or arduous, right? I can't help with that. So we give you an extra $100,000 that comes with our solution so that if you're faced with that breach, you have the money readily available. It's backed by us, and we can't give it to you until you get the seal. So you have an insurance company that's going to give you that $100,000 to help you with this scenario.
That's important because there's so much that the fines, I'm looking at the HIPAA wall of shame as we've been talking, and there's some daunting information on there. I mean, talk about huge fines that will shut down a practice. So what
like I
else
said, the average fine is $1.5 million, right?
Right, exactly, exactly. So what other insurance would someone need, or is that all done then through Compliancy Group?
No. The $100,000 is designed to really be, and it should be supplemental to your cyber liability insurance policy.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that for most organizations, $100,000 is probably enough for you to carry in 2022. We really recommend
right.
that everyone has a policy, and the partner that writes that for us, we're not an insurance broker. We don't sell this. The partner that writes that for us, we're always happy to make the introduction. If you don't
okay.
have cyber liability insurance and you're listening to this, you've got to fix that. Your odds
yes.
that the building burns down are way lower than the odds that you get hacked. At this point,
right.
you know, carrying insurance on your equipment, I'm going to tell you right now, the odds the equipment gets damaged are much, much lower than the odds that some script kiddie in his mom's basement cracks in through one of your employees doing something dumb on the internet. You know what I mean?
That's a really good point, too, doing something dumb on the internet. You know, people are really concerned with social media sites, all
mm-hmm.
different things. Like someone says, you know, I'm just looking at a TikTok video while I'm on my lunch break, and I got a message, and I clicked on this or clicked on that, and all of a sudden my screen, you know, there, it happens so easily.
Human beings cause 86% of breaches. 86% of the time that we've seen breaches of healthcare data, and I mean, these numbers are echoed in so many surveys, that you just look it up. It's the easiest thing in the world to find. What you'll find is 86% of the time, it wasn't a technology breach that actually caused what happened. It was a human being did something wrong. It was a violation of policy and procedure. I'll give you something that'll illustrate this that's outside the scope of healthcare. You know, you were talking about the password stuck on the screen with a little sticky note, right? If you lived in Hawaii several years back, one day, out of the blue, your phone goes off, and it gives this Amber Alert noise. And you look down, and the first thing it says is, this is not a test. North Korea has launched a thermonuclear attack against Hawaii. It basically says, get under a desk, call your loved ones, and tell them goodbye. There was no nuclear attack. It was a complete hoax perpetrated because one of the directors of the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency put on his Facebook profile him standing in front of his screens at his work running that system with his password stuck on the screens behind him. He became famous overnight for bad decisions. If you ask me, it's really not his fault as much as it's the organization. See, if you had done audits and had policies and procedures, that guy would have been trained better, and nobody would have let him have that there to begin with. The organization fell down when they allowed him to do what he did.
Oh, wow. You can't trust, I'll tell you, in the world of when things can go wrong, things will go wrong. And one thing that we, I think, have learned in the last 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, things that can go wrong will go wrong. We get attacked left and right, everyone. And as the technology increases, the need for more secure passwords, I mean, a lot of people have had passwords that they believe on just on their personal, you know, banking or computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, then they still will get hacked by a password that's found on the deep web somewhere. I got a notification one day that a password that I had used on something, a password I don't even use anymore, was found on a deep web, and someone tried to hack into my Microsoft account from China. And I don't, and it's, you know,
spooky?
It is spooky, and I'm sitting here thinking, what is it about me that they are trying to break into or get or obtain? And it's not anything about me particularly that makes me a target, other than I have an email address and an account, and it's not there, you know, and I think of the computer programs that are going through and trying to, you know, it's not, you know, it is
mm-hmm.
some kid, but what the kid's doing is the kid's programming a program that's going and trying to go into this. So it's you know, the kid can go to sleep, and a million computer operations that are happening overnight trying to break in and hack into all these different systems. You know, if nothing else, then to just throw something that's going to mess them up, or, you know, as we've seen now, it's the ransomware for Bitcoin and things. Our energy grids are under attack left and right. People, I've heard from people higher up in the world of politics, and we talk about, you know, here in Texas we had issues with ERCOT and our energy grids and all the cyber attacks. It's ongoing, and it never ends. And if people knew, if most people walking the streets have no idea what's really going on in the back end and how prevalent these things are. And so anyone out there who thinks, you know, my operation is low profile, you know, I'm a doctor, a general practitioner, I've got a low threshold of risk in my opinion, but nope, you can be attacked, taken out, nothing that you do is causing it. You know, you didn't run a high profile life. You haven't upset the people, you know, that's what I always was like, you know, who did you upset to deserve a cyber attack? It's all you have to do is exist. And that's reality. And so people who are not fully insured in this, there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, our last program we did on this program was a gentleman talking about bankruptcy and bankruptcy options and tools to help healthcare practitioners, because things like that can bankrupt your practice. And now what do you do? Because you're a doctor, you're a nurse. You know, you don't just shift gears and go into another profession. So all you can do is protect yourself, and bad things happen to good people all the time. So anyone who dismisses this because of, you know, they don't see themselves as a perceived risk, it's the same thing with the IRS and the individuals who say, you know, I fudge a little here and there, but I'm just a small fish. No one's looking for me. Well, until, you know, the people who are looking for you, it's no longer the manpower. We hear of all these things about legislation and bills. The Build Back Better plan that was talked about included however many IRS agents. And people think about that, about, you know, all those IRS agents are going to do a lot of stuff. But you know what? All you need is a few IRS agents with a few programs and systems and technology to do the work for them. And so, again, we have to think of those things. And I'm glad that we talked about not only enterprise-level operations being at risk. It's not just the big hospitals. And we've seen it on TV. Anyone who watches that program on Fox, The Resident, their hospital was attacked at some point. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, the big hospitals get attacked. But it's not only big hospitals, it's home health care, it's everyone. Anyone who's under HIPAA, and a lot of people are under HIPAA and don't, you know, might not really, you know, they haven't dug into all this. So I hope that people do spend the time to get more knowledge. If someone is doing the best they can but wants more information, wants to know if they can afford compliancy and afford the products and services that you all offer them, what are things that they should do? How do they get in touch with you? What are some next steps?
Well, first of all, they need to send an email to info@compliancygroup.com. And I would highly recommend that everyone go to our website and download our HIPAA compliance checklist. So we have a checklist that you can pull down. It's completely free, purely educational material, lets you go through it and answer just every question you need to know how you would do under a HIPAA audit and where you sit. So again, that's compliancygroup.com, and just look at our HIPAA compliance checklist. It's on literally every page. I'll also throw this out there. I am just paul@compliancygroup.com. I jokingly say I'm vice president, a long title. They like fill up the whole bottom of my business card, so you don't have any room for anything else in terms of my name. It's just paul@compliancygroup.com. Reach out to us. Let us talk to you, because, you know, we provide education for the entire medical community completely free. We have a free HIPAA training that you can take right now that's part of a program. We're just contributing to the community because we think it's important. So start by reaching out to us and just let you know, kind of where you sit. Beyond that, I would also say, you know, take a look at that HIPAA wall of shame. Read through it a little bit and realize, to your point, it's not just the big guys anymore. You know, Nick, I say this a lot. I'm going to go ahead and drop this here. I can get away with robbing 16 liquor stores before I can get away with robbing one bank. Okay? It is easier to get you and your data than it is to go after a major hospital system, and the data all has the same value. I don't care if I got it from them or if I got it from 10 of you. At the end of the day, it's the flag I'm trying to capture. It's not the location in most cases that matter to me. So don't kid yourself.
Right.
People just like you are under those crosshairs.
Yikes. Yeah. So, again, I think that everyone should pay attention to this. And don't let it be, you know, it's the same thing that they always, all my clients who have different law practices, especially the people who do trust and estate planning, we remind people, why do you wait till you have a flight overseas to do your power of attorney and all your estate planning documents? Because your greatest risk of something bad happening to you occurs within 1 to 5 miles of your home. And that's all it takes.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's that, like, that one day that you're, and it's that one day after the person's, the car insurance lapses, that's when the neighbor hits them, you know, so it's, you gotta be smart, you gotta be careful. So I appreciate your time in this. I want to also appreciate everybody who listens to our podcast from the Healthcare Consultants Podcast Program, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favius and Associates. Check out the website, favialawfirm.com. Mike Favius is all over social media. We share these programs there in his LinkedIn, Facebook, and other social media platforms. And, well, we hope that you all share those things as well, because you never know who's looking for exactly this kind of a thing. So we appreciate everyone on that level. So, Paul, I want to thank you for your time and being on the program today.
Nick, thank you so much again for having me. I really had a great time. Travel, you know, if you're out and about again, you know, be safe and well out there. I think the world is starting to move and shake again, and we're all back, you know, seeing each other in person. So I hope I can make it back up there and see you guys in person again.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and we'll talk soon. Everyone have a great day.
You too. Bye.